Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Our next guest is no stranger to fake news. It's actually what he does. And in fact, it really is fake because it's satire. Andy Borowitz is the creator and writer of The Borowitz Report, a satirical news column for The New Yorker. He's also known for creating the sitcom The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he's had a long and successful career spanning television, film, radio, books, and stand-up. Also, back in 1980, he graduated from Harvard College, where he wrote for the story Hasty Pudding Theatricals. And Andy Borowitz, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's cool to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I mentioned Hasty Pudding. Should I also mention The Lampoon?
Lampoon. Okay. I was actually president of the Harvard Lampoon and wrote for the Hasty Pudding. So if I can fact check. You see, I'm really opposed to fake news when it comes to my resume. I like to fact check that and make sure everything is
good.
Accurate.
I'm glad I got it right. Because as a rule, we try to limit the fake news on this show to zero.
That's good.
But the sheer term fake news makes me think that the first question I ought to be asking you is that, given the state of the world that we're in right now, is this a great time or a terrible time to be a political satirist?
It's a terrible time. And people kill me for saying that because they say, what are you talking about? Like, you're writing every day at The New Yorker. You're coming up with all this stuff. The problem is we've already reached that point where reality is so insane. It's gotten very easy for us to get inured to this, but we elected a game show host president of the United States. The president of the United States is a game show host and not even a game show that involved knowledge like Jeopardy or something like that. He is sort of a Sharknado president. If you're familiar with Sharknado.
I shouldn't laugh, but...
No, but it's true. This is actually not fake news. The producers of Sharknado, the very popular sci-fi spoof, wanted Donald Trump to play the role of the president of the United States on Sharknado, one of Sharknado sequels, before he became president.
Uh-huh.
And they wound up, he was unavailable or something, so they wound up going with Mark Cuban instead. And Mark Cuban actually does play the president of the United States in the Sharknado movies. So what this means is, right now, the Sharknado movies have a more qualified man as president of the United States than the United States has. That's a fact. You can just fact check that.
Well, I want to give you, I want to give listeners a couple of examples about why it is sometimes very challenging to tell satire from reality.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to read a bunch of headlines. Some of them are from the Borowitz Report.
Oh, wow.
Some of them may not be.
I may not get these right.
Okay.
Let's try.
Okay, I'll test you.
Okay.
Okay, here's one. I gave it away with the laugh, but Trump addresses rally of Ambien users.
Yes,
that's
Ambien
one of yours.
Users. Now, that is one of mine, and that's like we have to remember that's something, an outrage we had like 3 weeks ago. It feels like we had that outrage on in the 1840s or something.
Here's another one.
All right.
NFL adds First Amendment to list of banned substances.
That was the Borowitz Report.
But
also true. It's true, so hence the confusion.
Mitch McConnell says with a straight face that it's imperative that the president's nominee be treated fairly.
That sounds like real news to me. Is that real news?
You have to check.
That sounds real, but it is.
It is real.
That's real news, but it was also funny. Okay.
Yeah. But isn't that an example of why finding that right edge with political satire feels really hard right now? Because that last one that I read is from The Week magazine, just from this week. Mitch McConnell says, with a straight face, that it's imperative that the president's nominee be treated fairly.
Well, yeah. I mean, that actually is a jokier headline than what I would go with. My headlines aspire to be serious, and they were aspiring to be funny there. And so the trend lines kind of crossed. And that's, you know, one of the problems we have is that, unlike The Onion or The Lampoon or something like that, where everyone picks it up knowing that it's a comedy magazine publication, The New Yorker, as you know, is a storied publication based on its factual quality. Like, they fact check everything like crazy. So when the Borowitz Report started appearing in The New Yorker about 6 years ago, we wanted to make it clear that this was a comedy thing. But there's something comedians, and I'm in this category, hate, like, big signs, like, pointing to me saying, hey, everybody, just kidding. Like, that sort of kills the joke.
Yeah.
But after we elected a game show host president, we felt we did have to label it more clearly. And the editor of the New Yorker website said to me, what can we say as a header on the Borowitz Report to make sure that people know it's not the news? And I said, how about saying not the news? So actually now when you go to it It says not the news. However, those three words don't prevent a lot of people from still being confused.
And I think part of the problem is that so many people come to the Borowitz Report in the same way that they come to any other news article, which would be through social media, through Facebook.
Yes.
So maybe it's not as immediately apparent, like, hey, everyone, this is satire. I mean, is that a problem?
Well, you know, it would be, except that I now label each. Okay, here are the ways we label it. It says not the news. It says satire from the Borowitz Report. And then to make matters even worse, there's like a little banner along the photograph that says the Borowitz Report, not the news, and has a funny cartoon drawing of me. And I'm pretty funny even without a cartoon drawing, just my face. But a cartoon drawing of my face is even funnier than my actual face.
Yeah, but everyone has cartoon drawings of their face on Twitter now.
Like, I know.
Those are their Twitter avatars.
Look, the fact of the matter is we're living in a reality, sort of a Matrix-like reality, and we can't distinguish one thing from the next. And that's just, we're going to have to deal with that.
And then when you have a Borowitz Report headline that cuts close to the bone like this one, Fox News reports Egypt following U.S. in electing Muslim president.
Did I do that?
You did that. That was a long time ago. 2012.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
Another favorite from 2012: Santorum makes campaign swing through 17th century. I can't even say that without laughing.
It's so funny. You're bringing back like Rick Santorum, and now we have like nostalgia about these comedy characters. These very amusing people from our past before when we still had sort of a functioning democracy. We laughed then, not knowing what was coming.
Well, so let me ask you this, because in 2016, in an interview you had this quote, which I wonder how you feel about it now. You said, once it becomes clear that this guy, meaning now Trump, President Trump, is a danger to the Republic, then it's not really funny anymore.
Right. I still believe that. It's not really funny anymore.
So why are you doing it?
Well, what I'm doing, it's funny. This actually brings me to why I'm in Boston, because I'm doing a show tomorrow night at Symphony Hall called Make America Not Embarrassing Again. It's a national tour I'm doing. And comedy is kind of a valuable vehicle to just get at the truth, or what I perceive to be the truth. And I do think that our democratic institutions are in jeopardy. And what I do know is that people, if they're sad and they're depressed and they're despairing, they are unable to do anything about that. It's very difficult to motivate depressed people. So I am trying to use comedy on a daily basis to sort of lift people off, talk them off the ledge a little bit, to make them laugh long enough so they can say, okay, now what can I do to change the situation? So there's a little bit of activism involved in this too. It's not just me out there just trying to get my laughs, although God knows if there's a cheap laugh, I will always try to get that. But I guess I have a little bit more of a sense of purpose than I did in 2016, whatever, when I thought all would be well. The country couldn't possibly make this mistake.
Have you experienced any backlash though? Because I think people are more sensitive. People who are the targets, if that's the right word, of comedians are much more sensitive to that perhaps than they were in years past.
Yeah, the good news is I don't think I'm high enough on the depth chart for Donald Trump really to tweet at me. I mean, I think that he's primarily, from what I can tell, a television consumer. Yeah. He is not a big consumer of the New Yorker magazine, I don't believe. So I don't think like he's like, sort of trawling through the blogs at the New Yorker magazine and saying, well, I just read Anthony Lane's movie review. And oh, look,
Jane
a new
Mayer's expose.
Yeah, look, oh, there's
the
a new Jonathan Safran Foer novel coming out. That looks good. Wait a minute, what did Andy Borowitz write?
Well, he might write a restaurant review for in the food section.
Yeah, something like that. But no, I mean, I think again, like he hates people like Colbert. Failing Stephen Colbert and failing Jimmy Fallon. People are on TV. That within the sort of grasp of his remote, those are the people that he knows. I cannot believe I am on his radar.
Okay.
I just can't.
For now.
Who knows?
I will give President Trump credit for being incredibly savvy in terms of how to handle the media. So you never know.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, we got a minute left here, and I did not leave enough time to talk about the fact that you also created the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I know.
So let's see what we can jam in here in 30 seconds. And let me put the question this way. How did a Harvard-educated white guy end up being one of the co-creators of a show about African Americans that starred Will Smith?
Because we are the people who control the media. No, that's not the good answer. I was just on staff at NBC. I was in an overall deal at NBC, and they were interested. They had met Will Smith through Quincy Jones, and I'm dropping a lot of names here. And they put me and Will together, and actually, the two of us clicked really well. We had a very similar sense of humor. We both liked the Brady Bunch, as you know, from Parents Just Don't Understand. You know, that's a reference you made. So, you know, the rest is history. It's still on the air almost 30 years later.
It's one of the defining shows of my young life. So
God
bless you. Really excited to hear
you. No reason to stop watching it now, I got to tell you.
Well, Andy Borowitz is a comedian, writer, and creator of The Borowitz Report. He'll be performing live at Symphony Hall tomorrow night. We have information about that at radioboston.org. Been a great pleasure to talk with
you,
Andy. Thank you.
Same. Thanks for having me.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.